Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, July 18th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, former Governor Wendell Anderson dies at 83. Many Minnesota Republican delegates are lukewarm on Donald Trump. Tributes to former DFL Governor Wendell Anderson are coming in from both sides of the political aisle. Anderson died yesterday in St. Paul at age 83, surrounded by family and friends. At his political prime in the 1970s, the governor championed what became known as the Minnesota Miracle. He appeared on the cover of Time magazine as the leader of a state other places could emulate. But a political power play cut his career short. As Brian Bax tells us, Anderson left a lasting mark.
Even before Wendell Anderson stepped into politics, he secured a revered place in Minnesota history. The former University of Minnesota hockey star brought home a silver medal from the 1956 Olympics in Italy. The renowned competitiveness he displayed on the ice earned him a spot in the Minnesota legislature just a few years later, and eventually the determination landed him in the governor's office at age 37. Wendy, as he was commonly called, had a lot going for him. Dashing looks, smooth delivery, and he was a popular figure in a Democratic Farmer Labor Party only starting to flex its muscle in Minnesota government. Some saw him as a Midwestern John F. Kennedy. Time magazine featured a beaming, flannel-shirted Anderson holding a northern pike next to the words, "The Good Life in Minnesota." His 1974 State of the State address was something of a victory lap.
It is our job as a state to protect our people with all the strength we have. It is our job to keep our people working and our farmers farming. It's our job to preserve the ability of industry and small business to support a strong Minnesota economy. And it is our job as a state to pay more thoughtful attention to the future.
Anderson would usher in a heralded school finance change that pushed costs away from property taxes to state taxes. What was called the Minnesota Miracle helped even out disparities between districts. Tom Berg was a DFL House member at the time and would later write a book on the overhaul.
He came out and said, "We're going to do that," and he fixed it. I mean, he really did, and people remembered that.
Anderson wagered that voters would accept higher state taxes for the promise of better schools, and they backed him. Republicans branded him Spendy Wendy, but he piled up a 2-1 re-election win. Roger Moe was a young DFL state senator at the time. Moe says Anderson drove a powerful agenda on school finance, tax policy, and environmental policy.
I'll put this up against anybody in terms of political history of the state. I doubt that there will ever be, there certainly hasn't been, and I doubt there'll ever be another 6 years of the kind of progressive legislation that has had lasting impact for our state like the 6 years that when Wendy was governor.
It's not that Anderson was a natural politician. Moe remembers Anderson telling him how he would go into a crowded room and look for a familiar face to sidle up to instead of shaking every hand in front of him.
Back then, although he's loosened up a lot more since then, but back when he was governor, most people I don't think know this, but he was actually quite shy.
And it's easy to forget that Anderson wasn't even the biggest star in his home state party. Hubert Humphrey was a vice president, by then back in the U.S. Senate, and Senator Walter Mondale was about to become vice president himself. That turn proved fateful for Anderson. After the 1976 election, Anderson resigned as governor, and his lieutenant governor Rudy Perpich appointed him to Mondale's vacant Senate seat. Voters were angered by the perceived arrogance, and Republicans used that against Anderson and other Democrats in the 1978 election, when the DFL took a beating and voters sent Anderson packing. In a 2003 NPR interview, Anderson was candid in calling the position swap a mistake.
"I think the people of Minnesota felt that they had elected me governor for 4 years and wanted me to stay there, and I think that's fair. I don't disagree with the decision they made."
Republican Rudy Boschwitz beat Anderson in that Senate race. To the surprise of Boschwitz, it would mark the end of Anderson's political career.
"He was in his middle 40s at that time, and I certainly thought that he would seek a comeback. But he didn't."
Boschwitz and Anderson's own relationship would grow. The two sometimes met for walks or runs on a suburban trail, discussing current affairs, not their ballot rivalry. In the 2003 interview, Anderson looked back at his days in politics as different than the more toxic brand that came later.
I was privileged to be governor at a time when people were nice to one another. Republicans and Democrats got along. We were able to do significant things for the state of Minnesota because we liked one another. We respected one another.
I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
As the Republican National Convention gets underway in Cleveland today, the city is bracing for possible violence. A Minnesota man has been organizing what he says will be a peaceful march on the convention later today. Mark Zedeklik reports from Cleveland.
Mick Kelly of Minneapolis organized demonstrations at the past two RNCs in Tampa, Florida, and in St. Paul. He says he expects his coalition to stop Trump and march on the RNC will attract thousands of peaceful demonstrators.
What we're planning is a large, family-friendly protest. You can feel safe bringing your kids in a stroller. We think people from all walks of life, blue-collar people, students, immigrants, are going to be here and taking a message to the Republican National Convention. And we think it'll be entirely safe.
There is a massive law enforcement presence in downtown Cleveland, with uniformed officers visible everywhere. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Cleveland.
Meanwhile, Minnesota's 38 delegates to the convention are not exactly enthusiastic about the party's presumptive nominee. Most won't be voting this week to award the party's presidential nomination to Donald Trump, and only one member of the state's Republican congressional delegation is even making the trip. Brian Baxt is back with this preview of the convention.
Minnesota, where we are very proud of our state Republican Party, which runs a fair convention with integrity.
That was the scene 4 years ago. When Minnesota is called on later this week, only 8 delegate votes will go to Donald Trump. Shakopee's Joe Ditto is a Trump delegate. But don't let that fool you. He's no Trump fan, particularly because of the candidate's hardline stances on immigration and foreign trade.
Well, when there were 17 candidates, Rand Paul was my first choice, Walker was my second, and Cruz was my third. Trump was 16.
Ditto is bound by state party rules to vote for Trump on the first and maybe only nomination ballot because of how caucus results in his congressional district shook out. And the medical device engineering manager intends to follow through.
You know, a lot of people are relying on me to go there and do what I said I was going to do, so I don't want to let anybody down.
Minnesota was one of Trump's weakest states in the primary season. The business mogul finished third in the March precinct caucuses. More of the state's delegates are aligned with caucus winner Marco Rubio and runner-up Ted Cruz, both senators who suspended their presidential bids months ago. Some of those bound to Trump on the first ballot say they'd vote a different way if allowed, or if Trump surprisingly doesn't clinch it on the first try. That's not the case with Sherry O'Clair. She's full square behind Trump. O'Clair likes that he's an outsider, that he says what's on his mind, and that he has a strong business background. In Cleveland and beyond, O'Clair says she'll be lobbying Trump skeptics to get on board.
Not voting for Trump is putting Clinton in the White House and the Supreme Court justices and her pick. I don't care if you've got to plug your nose and vote for Mr. Trump, then go ahead and plug your nose and vote for him. There is too much at stake out there.
Becoming a national delegate is no easy task. O'Clair got passed over when she ran for a slot in the 3rd Congressional District. She had better luck winning an at-large position at the state Republican convention in May. Ditto figures he put 80 hours and hundreds of his own dollars into being elected at a congressional district convention. Boutique clothing store owner Jennifer Carnahan is a first-timer to a national convention. She's a delegate for Florida Senator Marco Rubio, whose sole state win was Minnesota. But she's ready to get behind Trump this fall.
I don't agree with everything about Donald Trump. I think he says a lot of things that he shouldn't say. I think he has a huge ego. He's obviously very self-absorbed. However, he is a businessman. He's achieved a lot of success, and I think he's smart enough to know that he doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he'll surround himself with people who do know how to navigate the system in Washington, D.C.
Carnahan says it's important that the party start coming together after a divisive nominating season. That's why she's bothered by reports of convention holdouts.
I would like to see people that I've looked up to and admired in the Republican Party, and I'm actually a little concerned and disappointed that some of them might not be there.
She won't get to see Rubio. He's skipping the convention. So are other big GOP names, like 2012 nominee Mitt Romney and both Presidents Bush. Among Minnesota Republicans, Congressman John Klein and Eric Paulson are staying home. Aides to both note neither went to the national convention 4 years ago either. Minnesota House Speaker Kurt Dowd will be there as a Rubio delegate. And 6th District Representative Tom Emmer is headed to Cleveland, too. Emmer Chief of Staff David Fitzsimmons, a delegate in his own right, says the congressman sees symbolic value in being present.
We're going to officially have a nominee, and so I think Congressman Emmer thinks it's very important for him to help make sure we come out as a united party after that.
It's anyone's guess if Republicans will find that harmony this week, or if the convention will expose more fractures as Trump officially takes the GOP reins. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy, back from vacation in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.